Peter knew something that a lot of people just don't know. We're going to talk to you about humility, but some more. We thought that that was all we were going to talk about, but then we found out that we need to talk about that some more, because that is the principle. That's the primary principle. The primary principle means this is what you, if you get this part, then, because it cannot be substituted. You can't substitute this principle for faith. You can't confess and use your faith in substitution for this primary principle. It becomes more important. This primary principle seems like it's more important than learning about prosperity. This one seems to be more important than trying to love without this. You can't substitute this. You can still do all the other, but this is the primary principle. And so Peter, at one time, he was shifting sand. His name was Simon. Simon means shifting sand. But when Peter got a revelation of Jesus, Jesus called Peter, called Simon, whose name was, he called him Simon. I mean, that's what his name was, Simon, the son of Jonah. His name was Simon Bar Jonah. Simon, Jonah's son. The son of Jonah, Simon bar Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. And then Jesus called Simon Peter. The word Peter means a rock, a big boulder rock. So at first he was shifting sand, but then when he got this revelation, he became a rock. When you get a revelation about something that pertains to the kingdom of God, it makes you a rock. It makes you a hard place. You're not going to move off that because you got a revelation. You got that part. So in that part of your life, you are a rock. And so Peter, when his name was Simon, the Bible says that Jesus said that Satan tried to sift him like wheat, but he prayed for him. And when you're strengthened, you strengthen your brother. So this person is telling you how to be strong in God's power and not in your own power. The scripture says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. A might means ability to do anything. But this primary principle seemed to be running through all of Peter's first book, the first book that Paul that bears Peter's name. So this primary principle, you can see it all the way through the book. Let's show you, because it's the principle of humility. So in the world, humility means one thing, but in the kingdom of God, humility is that primary thing that causes you to have God's grace, stuff you don't even earn, for God to get involved in his unmerited stuff you didn't earn to actually operate in your life. Without this principle working, it's like you believe in Jesus, but you forfeit all of the benefits and privileges of having citizenship in the kingdom of God. It's like being in a religion if you don't get this part right, and having to wait until you get to heaven to enjoy all your benefits. So, you want to be a citizen in the kingdom of God and at the same time not have to go to heaven first. You want this primary principle working, and you don't even have to use your faith. Once, if this is working in a person, when this is working in a person's life, he really don't have to have faith for God to raise you up. But you can confess, God's going to raise me up, God's going to raise me up. But this is the primary thing. That automatically, God automatically raises people up when this is working. God automatically causes a person to have the touch of God's care in their life it automatically happens. You don't have to use your faith. You don't have to believe for it. Just have this primary principle working. And it's very easy to resist the devil when this is working. So I call it the primary principle. And obviously, in Peter's mind, it was that way. Watch this. Look at the first chapter. Look at the first chapter of, look at 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. We'll pick it up right there. This is some places where it stands out. Because when you are trusting in God and not depending, relying, and trusting in yourself in an area of your life, you will not be confounded. Confounded means you will not be disappointed. So this principle of humility means, well, I'm going to retire from my way. I'm going to withdraw from my way. And therefore, I'm going to yield to God. And see, that same principle is described here. Watch this sixth verse. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief corner, says stone. Stone. Now, stone means rock, a lively stone. The Bible calls Jesus a lively stone. And the Bible also calls you who have revelation, living stones. Same word, lively stone. You also are lively stones. So Jesus is the chief one. And the whole thing is built with these stones. Okay? Wherefore, it is also contained in scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him, trust, relies, and depend on him, shall not be confounded. Say, I will not be disappointed. Okay, so I need to, I want to see, now this is natural in a believer's life, but I want to recognize it. So when as the Spirit of God is leading me in my life, then I want to be able to, I want to know, I want to flow in what I know is the best thing for me. Not the most comfortable. The best thing. You got it? I want to hurry up and walk in this. Because it's natural for a believer with the love of God and a person who's in the kingdom of God. But I want to hurry up and have that working. Because automatically God lifts people up who is humble. God gives people who are humble, who have humility. You don't have to believe God for it. You don't have to use your faith for it. God does this. God calls people who are humble to experience the touch of his care. God raises people up out of problems. No matter what problem area it is possible. Am I talking too fast? Okay, I'm trying to say these things. They're coming so fast. Listen, it's possible to have humility working in one area of my life, and yet in another area of my life, not be being raised up in that area. God will deal with me about how to, say, retire from my way in a certain area. And withdraw and then hence yield. And any part of my life that's going on, automatically God raised that part of my life up. Automatically God gives grace. Automatically, I don't have to bleed for it. In that area where I've retired from my own way. And what's the other one? Withdraw from my own way. And hence, yield it. God's grace is working in that area of my life. And God will raise me up in that area. And it'd be easy to resist the devil in that area. And I'll experience a touch of God's care in that area. Come here. Come here. I've found her. Come here. Come here. Now, you know what? You know why she's up here? She really was going to sit there. But when I gave her some instruction and I gave her some guidance, she retired from her own way. Because she really wanted to keep staying there. Wait a minute. See how she's doing everything I'm telling her to do? And she withdrawn from her own way. Hence, she yielded to my instructions and my guidance. Now, standing up here, sit right there. Sit down on that thing. You know, this is a little uncomfortable for her to be up here. But it's more beneficial. Somebody else, another child, I might would say, somewhere, they might snuggle into their parents. If I asked them again, say, come on. She said, why are he picking on me? She hadn't retired from her own way. But she yielded, didn't she? How did she get up here? She retired from her own way. She withdrew from what she would have wanted to do sitting there. And hence, she yielded. It's uncomfortable, but it is more beneficial. It's real beneficial. How about $20? Would that work for you? Okay, all right, thank you. Now, if I would have asked another child and they would say, no, why are you picking on me? And that's, I would say, no, that's all right. Because I wouldn't have made her. Wouldn't even try to make her. I would find somebody else. And then after service, they would have come up to me and said, can I have $20? I would say, no, baby. And the child and the parent would have learned the lesson. Amen. Yeah. And that's what it means to submit. Yeah. It's not comfortable, but it's the most beneficial thing. And Peter said, I found out how to make you strong without you having to spend all your lifetime trying to get strong. I'm getting closer. I'm one of these. No. He said, you can skip all over all of that. He's telling you. Now, you younger, submit yourself to the elders. You don't have to be older. I have pastors who taught me in high school who called me their spiritual father. The pastor and his wife called me a spiritual father, and he taught me in high school. Yeah, so it's not necessarily age, but he's trying to say, now, the Bible has something to say about every one of your relationships. Every relationship you have, God has something to say about it. Yeah, and everything about your life has to do with relationships. He tells the employee how to relate to the employer. He tells the employer how to relate to the employee. I just thought about something funny. Okay, and he tells the wife, listen, how to relate to the husband. He tells the husband how to relate to the wife. Everything in your life has to do with relationships. And in the world, they got the idea that to be humble is to be weak. But it's turned all the way around. Peter knows how to tap into God's grace. You don't even have to work hard. You don't even have to use your faith for it. God exalts humble. Amen. If you learn it early, you got an edge in the world. The very thing that happened to you in your life when you were a child that hurt you, that made you think, I ain't gonna never put myself in a position that somebody might blame me. They might attack me. I'd be liable to be hurt. I'd be liable to be attacked. I'd be liable to be blamed. Y'all ready to go to work? Look at that first verse. Ready? Let's read. First Peter, 5th chapter, First verse. 1 Peter 1. No, 1 Peter 5. 5. It's all through Peter. Third. Look at the first chapter. Look at 1 Peter 3rd chapter. You got it? See? Likewise, you wives, be subject to your own husband. Look at the fifth verse. Look at the fifth verse. For after the same manner, in the old times, the holy women also who did what? See? They retired from their own way. They withdrew from trusting in what they can do. They kept the earrings on. Whether they felt mad or not. Whether there was a black woman or not. Whether it was a mad black woman or a mad white woman. They kept the earrings on. They just said, I tell you what. Because they retired from trusting in what they could do to change their husband. And they withdrew from it. Hence, they yielded and trusted and relied and depended on God. And didn't panic. Look at it. Read it. Even if your husband is not even obeying the word, without even talking to them, just let them know one time. If they don't do it, you got inside information. You can retire, withdraw, hence yield, and trust God. Read it. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Calling him Lord, even if he wasn't even doing what she knew he wasn't doing right. But who daughters you are? Come on, say if see, you can be born again. But he's talking about being Abraham's daughter. That means taking advantage of the fact that you are in the kingdom of God. You know, when people don't keep the law, they go to jail. They citizens, but they just go to jail. They can't do anything. Peter said, I tell you what, I found the answer. See, he said, the scripture said, at one time in Peter's life, the devil was trying to sift him like wheat. But Jesus prayed for him. He said, when you get strong, you strengthen your brother. And we read his book. He's telling you how to be strong in God's power. You don't even have to use your own strength. Rest yourself. Put the word to work. Do the word. Glory to God. Are y'all listening? Okay. For after the same manner in the old times, the holy women also, come on, read it, who trusted in God, they adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband. Even as Sarah, she obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well and don't panic under pressure. Because it seemed like God ain't talking, but God can turn things around. Amen. Yeah. Hold on to it. Y'all listen? Okay, so anyway. We was trying to get... Okay, look at 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Look at the 11th verse. It's 7th verse. Say it. Likewise. So he's telling the man to submit to his wife. He tells the woman, submit to your husband. Then he says, submit to your wife. That means retire from your own way of getting your wife to obey you. Pull off of your way. Hence, yield to how God says be toward her. And he'll raise you up out of any problem. Submission and humility. God will raise you out of a financial problem because God is saying something to you. If you got a healing problem, he'll raise you up out of that. Any problem in your life, God promises. God has already promised. God raises people up who are humble. So I got to find out how to walk in that, because all my life I've thought about to be humble or submissive. That's almost like a curse word. I've ministered this in a woman who had been married. She got up out of her chair in the middle of my sermon and walked out to church because I was telling her what the Bible says about being submissive. She didn't. And I would have done the same thing if I just didn't understand it. But this is the very thing that causes a man to be strong. a woman to be strong. If you can get your children to know this before they start school this year, they'll have better grades. If you know this before you go to go on a job, you get your raise. You miss raises by having a worldview of what being humble is, a submissive. He looks like he's weak in the world, but this is how you tap into God. And you look so silly to other folk, and other folk almost get mad at you because God treating you different than he treating other people. You just found the inside answer. Amen. Now let's look at the fifth chapter again. Back to the fifth chapter. In the 8 o'clock class, I was way down the road. I don't know, y'all. I'm still hadn't read. Okay, you ready? What's the first word? Likewise. He's talking about the same thing throughout the whole chapter. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's go to work. Y'all ready? Read the first part. Likewise, you, younger, submit yourself to the elders. Okay. Yeah, that's rank. Say, that's rank.
That's rank.
Yeah, that's how you're. The key to having unity is not everybody having their idea fly. Because you might have 10 ideas in 10 people. But the key to unity is not uniformity, just wearing the same clothes. But it's unity. The key to unity is having this submission and treating everybody like they are more important than you. Yeah. And then God makes the difference. Yeah, because you're trusting in God. You're not trusting in your ability, and you're not worshiping your opinion. You are in rank. It's rank. Like, it doesn't mean that Jesus is better than God. Jesus just submitted to God. That's how come God's power worked through Jesus when he was on the earth. It wasn't like they in competition. Yeah, they all come on one. They flow together. Now, listen. Now, read it again. Here we go. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Now, say it. Yeah. See, Peter, he's you know, Peter always really, he just go off. He thinks I'm, I'll go with you, Jesus. I'll die with you. And next day, you know, he was. But see, Peter's like that. He was saying, now y'all submit younger. He was establishing this for younger, submit yourself to the elder. Then he said, yeah, he got it. He took that thing from just the younger and the elder. He said, yeah, all of y'all, that's the key. This is the key. All of y'all be in subjection to one another. He said, that's the key. He said, all of y'all be in subjection to one another. Now, the word subject means to lay your life out there where you're liable to be blamed. You're liable to be attacked. You are liable to be criticized. And whatever happened to us when we were little, whatever television we saw, whatever we saw that people used to do to us, or what people did to you, what your parents did to you, that's what caused us to decide to not act like little children. I am not going to put myself in a position where folk can criticize me, because that is uncomfortable. What about me? What's going to happen to me? The very thing that happened to you in your life that made you decide, I am not going to put myself, and made you decide to come across hard, made you decide to come across proud, made you decide to, if my opinion don't fly, I just don't believe it. I just don't with it. I don't care who they are. I just think it ought to be done this way. Whatever happened to you in your life that made you do that, that set something that set something in course in your life. When you was little, you were acting just like she just acted, toward people and toward God. And Jesus said, they came to Jesus one day and said, Lord, who's the greatest in the kingdom? You know, in the world, can't but a few people be the greatest. In hockey, the people who have that, come on, Stanley Cup, they're the greatest. What about football? The greatest is the people who have that, what they call that, Lombardi trophy? Yeah. How about basketball? The greatest team is the one who wins the playoff. In the world, just only a select few can be the greatest. Jesus, he calls a little child, say little child, and he used the word humility to describe and teach grown folk how to be the greatest. Jesus said, anybody, see, in the kingdom, everybody can be the greatest. He said, whoever will humble themselves like this little child, they're the greatest. That means every one of us can be the greatest. You can be the greatest. And God says, everybody be subject one to another. How can I do that? I can treat you like you are more important to me than me. And since I have this inside information, I can do it. Because it's the nature of a child of God to live in the culture of the kingdom of God and have God make the difference. Read that again. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elders. Okay, I got that. Then he said, yeah, all of y'all, be subject one to another and be clothed with retiring from your way, withdrawing from what you would normally do when you was in that pre-Christ script, and yielding to these instructions. Because God is talking to us all the time. He's giving me an instruction, and he's giving me, and nobody but you know. You know what the Bible says, but he's giving you some instructions and some guidance because he know where you're supposed to go in life. And he said, there's great benefits. There's great benefit. One of the greatest benefit is what you're about to read. Come on, read it again. Likewise, you younger, be in subjection to the elder. You know, that means rank. Then he said, yeah, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. I know it's uncomfortable, but go on, do it anyway, because God will let you live on this earth waiting to get to heaven. God will let a person who's born again forfeit the benefits of being born again until they get to heaven. Come on, because, come on. God resists the pride. It doesn't mean that he, you know, see, I don't want the devil resisting me and the world resisting me and God being on that list. I don't want God resisting. It means God saying, okay, all right, okay. When I'm talking to people and I'm counseling them, I say, it is illegal for me to try to make you do this. You're not supposed to. Nobody's supposed to make somebody try to do anything. If God, I don't supposed to try to make nobody tithe their tithes. But God, I'm supposed to let you know what God's instruction is, what God's guidance is. And God will raise you up. God will give you grace. Because that's what he does to the humble. Humble's not, ain't worthy. No, that's foolish. That's unbelief. But humble means I just retire from my own way. I withdraw from where I see what I can figure out will be best for me. And hence, I yield. And then God got the problem. As long as I do it my way, God said, okay. It's illegal for God to try to make anybody do anything. But he gives instructions. And he give guidance. It's illegal for me to try to make you do anything. It's illegal. Because no human being is supposed to try to control another person. Amen. But Peter, I can kiss that book. He said, all y'all be subject one to another. And everybody, the first thing, well, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Because God lets you do it by yourself. Pride is, see, if I would ask her to come, she would have. But she retired from what she would have normally been. She withdrew from what she would normally do sitting there. Hence, she yielded. It was uncomfortable for her to come up here, but great benefit, wasn't it? And God says, be subject one to another. Treat each other like they are better than you. Now, you know people are not better than you from the word. But he said, do it anyway. Do it like Jesus. Jesus treated you like you were better than him. And God gave Jesus some instructions. He said, I want you to lay your life down. Did you notice that nobody can take Jesus' life? The devil couldn't kill him. Jesus said, he don't have anything in me. But God gave him some instruction. God gave Jesus some guidance. And he promised him, he said, if you lay your life down, I won't let your soul see corruption. I won't let your soul see corruption. You won't decay. Because after 3 days, you start decaying. So Jesus said, you will not let my soul see corruption. See, he got that promise, and he had enough confidence in his Father because he was trusting God to lay his life. He said, nobody take my life. You can't take my life. But he asked me to do it, so I'm going to withdraw. Because he didn't want to. He didn't want to do that, did he? But he retired from his own way. He's supposed to live forever. Then he withdrew. Hence, he yielded. Did you know that's why God raised him from the dead? And God promised that he does that to anybody who would, come on, retire from their own way, withdraw from our own way, hence yield. That's why the Bible says God raised Jesus from the dead. And God raises anybody up in any part of your life who would do that. And so Peter said, yeah, all of y'all be subject one to another because God resists the proud, but God, come on, give grace to the humble. And he said, therefore, this is what I tell you to do. Look at it. He said, since that's true, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so he'll exalt you in due time. He's going to raise you up in any kind, any area of problem that you have in your life. Casting all your care, because when you do that, he said, what about me? What about me? What about me? He said, this way, throw it all on the Lord because he will care for you. You'll experience God's care in that area of your life. He said, now you be sober because it's possible for you to do it in one area and God will still deal with you about another area. And all you have to do is just retire, withdraw in that area and repent. You ended up not doing anything. You end up not doing anything and God doing everything. And you just doing what you see God doing. And Jesus said, the Son can do nothing without the Father because he wasn't doing his own thing. It was so easy for Jesus to live and resist the devil in the world. And he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is trying to make you worry. He's trying to make you take up a part of your life. He's trying to make you do your own thing. What you can figure out works. That's why if people decide, I know what I'll do, I'll steal the car and I'll drive off real fast and I can get away. But God was telling them, don't do it that way. I'll give it to you if you put my way first place. Now, those people, they wrong anyway. You got to beat them at their own game. Okay. And then you blame the system for you dying. God says, I'm putting before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life because the world going to tell you you got a right to do it your way. But retire. Withdraw. And do what's crazy. Look like a fool to everybody. But they can't see your big brother. They can't see God. That's why you look crazy to folk. They don't see how come you give your tithes to church. You know, they don't see how come you give offerings. They don't even see why you even come to church. Well, I go to church. I get more word on the word than that where I can just stay at home. I get blessed. I can stay at home and fellowship with God. But God said, don't forsake the assembly together. When you come to church, you honor God. And God said, if you do it my way, I will honor you.
Now you might be in honor, but then when you get to church, he'll teach you how to, if you got this right, you'll know how to love. Because you cannot love God. I mean, you can't love like God said love unless you retire from your own way. Because people in the world, they love people who love themselves. But if you don't love like God says, you got to retire from your own way. It don't even matter if somebody speak to you now. It don't even matter if somebody don't even like you. You're going to retire. You're going to do it like Jesus. I'm going to retire from my own way, and I'm going to love the unlovely. Because the unlovely probably have your future in their pocket. They might have the word. They might have the word that's going to change your life in their heart. I left Mama's house in West Monroe in my car. I saw this guy, tall guy. He played football and played basketball. He had had a rough life after high school. Tall, lanky boy. He was a good basketball player. Riding a bicycle. Prompting. Sales of prompting. Just instruction. Just a guidance from God. I was fine. I was in my car. I was fine. He was on the bicycle walking or something. Somehow, I ended up not. He must have been walking. Somehow, this prompting, this guidance, this instruction. I don't want him. He's thinking. I ain't got time for him. I'm a busy man. This instruction. If you can't obey people who you see, how are you going to obey a God who you can't see? You, when you growing up, you was a child, they was training you how to not do things your way. Your mama made you do that way. So when you get grown, you can do it without having to see somebody. I talked to this guy. I was a president of the choir. I was a deacon. A superintendent of Sunday school. Born again. But he had something in his heart that I needed. It didn't even make sense for me to stop and talk to that guy. Because he should have. He was one of the most likely to succeed. Now he's on a bicycle, look like he taking drugs or something. But he had taken drugs. But he had found more than I had known. And he had 12 cassette tapes. One was Understanding the Mercy of God. A series by Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth who? Yeah, it's a man named Kenneth Copeland. I think I heard of him. And he had a CD set of 6 CDs about the name of Jesus. And he started to talk to me, telling me about how his life was. He still had the grave clothes on. But they was coming off. You know, God, he gave Lazarus life, but he still had grave clothes on him. He tell people to take the grave clothes off of him. And so he still looked like a dead man, spiritually. He had the life of God in him. He still had the dead clothes, grave clothes on him. And they were coming off. And he said, Donald, he gave me the two sets. The very person who you be passing up and will not have a fellowship group with. That very experience, you don't even have to use your faith for it. God will raise you up just because your pastor asked you. That's just not my cup of tea. Well, I know what pastor doing. He trying to use this scripture to make me, come on now. This was not in my mind. You got it? So he gave me that. And I put it in my secret. And about 2 weeks later, listening to this preacher preach to me from this man who looked like he was still on drugs. The very person you pass up going to church with people who are already saved. And this submission, this God leading you, say, okay, go and tell the stinking one, the one that don't look like you. retire from what everybody else do, and you withdraw from your own way and just yield to that prompting of the Spirit, because your future is part of what this obedient act entails. You remember when you weren't saved? I am not going to raise my hand. I am not going to go. I'm not going to do this in public. And you let an appeal pass. Then you got saved, and then they did an appeal for people to be praying in tongues. Because if you pray in tongues, you can be a blessing to other people. I am not going to hang one moment. I am not going to do that. I am not going to, miss on. I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to say, Honda. You know, that's Honda. Honda and a mansion. But one day, somebody said one day. You retired from your way. And you withdrew from what you would normally do every Sunday. And you raised your hand. And now you can't, God came in your life. And now you're praying in tongues. And now you got power in your life just because you humble yourself. You retired from your way of thinking. I got enough. I don't let them get there. You withdrew from your own way. Hence, you yielded for stuff that you didn't even want to do. These flashes in my mind, I will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't even like to be around folk who pray in tongues. They too loud. And I can remember my mama when she was like a log. They got one by her leg and one by the other. And they took her out of church like a log while she was saying, I am not going to do that. But I had to, come on, retire from my own way of thinking. Withdraw. And then I yielded to the call of God to have more power in my life. Remember when I wasn't tithing, I had it all in my mind, but I remember when God said, the reason you're not, can't tithe, because you're not tithing. See, it's different between giving your money and tithing. When you give that 10% and you actually tithe it, and you do it God's way, I just had to retire from trusting and relying on what my boss could give me. I had to withdraw from my way of thinking, hence yield. And then I had to stop, after I gave my tithe, being scared. I started rejoicing because God can't lie to me. But if I act like God might be lying to me, even after I give my 10%, it's not tithing. He said, prove me with this. You don't say, he said, he just said, give it and then go away saying, now I don't even know how I'm going to pay my tithe, my electric bill, because you know I tithe the other day. I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen, you know, if it just wasn't for my tithe. You see? But if I can tithe it and let my words, I can't see them, but I can release these words. I can do it God's way. He'll raise me up. Raising children? God telling you something about how you're supposed to raise your children. He's talking to you about how to raise children. God's talking to you about how to have a good marriage. You might be having a real good marriage, but over here, it's not condemnation, but God is talking to you. He's giving you some instructions. And if you just be quiet after you pray, that's God. That's God. It seemed like, and nobody else knows but you. Paul said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Paul said, James said, humble yourself in God's sight, because nobody else will see it. See how I'm looking? I can look just as good, but in God's sight, he's going to deal with you something with today, and tomorrow he's going to deal with something about something else, because he loves you. He loves you. He's going to deal with you about some area of your life where he want to help you. But he will say, okay. He said, choose life. So it's not God, is it? Amen. God might, you might have a child that look like they're trying to go to hell. But if you worry about them, God said, okay. But when you stop worrying about them, say, Father, I thank you. That's my seed. I will not worry. I cast the care of my baby, my children, upon you. I don't have that problem.
Then the devil will make you think like they're trying to go to hell worse, because he's a roaring lion. He'll start saying, ah! You say, I'm sober. I'm vigilant. Because my adversary, seeing if he could devour me by thinking about my child some other way than God said, think about it. I'm going to go to sleep. And I am not going to panic when this phone rings. Say, I know that's that call. I know that's that call. And when the phone rings, you say, oh, somebody must have just got some money. They're looking for me. You can't substitute faith for this principle. You can't confess your way with this is the primary thing. So your future is inside of you. Amen. Stand up to your feet. Now, y'all listening? You just experienced the move of God. If Jesus came in here in a robe and you saw him with your physical eyes, you know what he would do? In order for him to, you experience a move of God, Jesus will come in here and say something to you. And when you make that adjustment like you just did this morning, you just experience a move of God. And when God gives you something, you have received this word, haven't you? See, you've been blessed today. The Bible says, in order for folk to see that you've been blessed, he said, take heed to yourself. He said, take heed to the teaching that you just received. Because you were blessed when you received the gift. He said, so people can see that you've been blessed. And he said, you meditate on the things. He said, you give yourself all the way over to this that you got in you. See, if God going to bless you, he going to bless you in your spirit. Say, I've been blessed today. See, I'm trying to tell you, you have experienced the move of God. Spiritual things are not normally spectacular. They happen like you get pregnant. Nobody saw it. But when you leave, you say, something happened to me the other day. And the Holy Spirit is going to be so, you're going to recognize his voice so good. And he's going to cause you to avoid forfeiting the blessings that God had for you. Just because you got blessed and nobody saw. See, you got blessed when it came in you. But he said, give yourself wholly to these things. Meditate those things and take heed to yourself. So folk who see you can notice that you got blessed the other day. And you will save yourself and you will save folk who you talk to. In the 8 o'clock class, somebody stood up and testified, said, the other day I got this about shaking it off, not letting anything shake me up, but shake it off. He said, I got it here. And now I've been telling everybody. See, now people can, he can save people who hear him. He said, I've been reading my Bible and I've been studying this. I said, oh my goodness, who is this talking to me? The word has changed that person. I said, is this? He said, I've been reading the Bible every day and I've been telling everybody about this and I got it here. See, he got blessed. Now he can save himself and he can save people who hear him. But he got blessed a few weeks ago when it came in him. And I'm trying to announce to you, you are a blessed person. And God, there's nothing too hard for God. Make God a big God and make your problems a little bitty problem. Hallelujah. That's nothing for God. I've seen God give me thousands of dollars in one day. Hallelujah. And why would I say that? That's my business, isn't it? But I'm telling you to let you know God can do anything. God is turning stuff around. Hallelujah. God say, God, turn it. To the degree that you know that you have accepted this, that's to the degree that God is turning around those areas of your life that need to be raised up. God is raising you up in that area today. Hallelujah. Some of y'all was tight. Now y'all loosed up. Some of y'all was mad and had determined, nobody gonna hurt me like that again. But God said, go on and do it. I'll put a shield around you. You won't be hurt. It won't harm you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'll step in. I said it. I can take care of my own word. You doing it this time because you know I said it. Now you're going to do it with me. Never let nobody hurt me like that again.
But God said, go on, subject yourself where you're liable to be criticized and you are liable to be blamed and you are liable to be, you're liable to blame, criticize. What does that say? You're liable to be blamed. You're liable to be criticized. And you're liable to be attacked because you're like a sheep among wolves. Sheep can't take care of themselves. But God says, I am your shepherd. Hallelujah. I lead you in green pastures. My rod, go with God, and my staff, they protect you. Hey, I'm going to lead you in some stuff, but you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. Surely, come on. Goodness and mercy. Y'all better help me stop. Shall follow me. Say, it's going to follow me. The Lord is my, say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I hear his voice. And he knows me. I follow him. And he gives me life. And no man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. God gave me to Jesus. And nobody can pluck me out of his hand.